I really love the story of how you started, Catherine, because it's truly a big example of not 100% knowing where things are going to go. Being in a position where it's like, it could work out, it could not work out, but I'm just going to go for it. I'm just going to dive in and then see what comes out of it. Super cheesy thing to say, but feeling the fear of doing something anyways and then seeing what comes out of it.
This is the Social Impact Comms podcast. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Catherine.
And my name is Marie.
Listen in as we share our lessons learned communicating for impact across movements, organizations, and people working for change.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to today's episode. We're really excited to have you on today. We are going to get a little bit personal and share the story of how we got here today. So, Catherine, you started a company.
I know, right? Where did that come from?
What inspired you to start LeBlanc Co. Communications?
So, several years ago, I was at a bit of a crossroads at life, you know, we're maybe 2.5 years at the point of taping this. And 2.5 years ago, I had worked at several nonprofits, and I'd also worked on Parliament Hill. I was able to work in a variety of different fields, worked in the student movement, worked in various feminist, social justice, queer spaces, working in that political and campaigning environment that I described, and growing up and learning as I was going. At a certain point, after having been in a national organization for a while, having great relationships and learning a lot in national advocacy environment, as it was my time to move on, I was like, what am I going to do?
What's next?
I don't know. Tell everyone I'm going to do consulting. Plan to start consulting, see how it goes. Test the waters.
Yeah.
So I thought that using my social impact communications experience, I could offer people to help with that work. If you need to change the world, you're going to need some help in communications as you do it. I thought I could let everyone know in my network that I was taking on clients. And honestly and truthfully, Marie, something that I think that is a really important part of the story was I didn't know if I was going to be really making a go at it full time.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I'll be moving on from a role. I'll put up a website, make a logo, make a business. It's full time right at this moment. But then after that, we are literally going to have to see. I was open to the possibility of running a business and this is working and now it's going. But I also did not know how it was going to go at all. And was open to the possibility of running the business on the side and taking another role, taking something part-time, just honestly seeing how it would go. I did not know and I didn't know what to expect. I knew that someone would need my help and would hire me, but that's a far cry from being able to expect how things will go. Some people, before they're starting their own firm, worked at another agency. Maybe even held a senior role at another agency or done a lot of freelancing. I had not. Shout out to the maybe two people who hired me to do a little bit of freelancing ever. That was nice and helpful context for sure, but not the robust client load that in another context you maybe would want to be lining up before you start. But what helped make the jump in the absence of that certainty or business experience or client load was being like, you know, it'll be a website. I'll get a little bit of work. But then the barometer of, is it a side hustle? Is it the long-term full-time job? It was a test and iterate situation.
I really love the story of how you started, Catherine, because it's truly a big example of not 100% knowing where things are going to go. Being in a position where it's like, it could work out, it could not work out, but I'm just going to go for it. I'm just going to dive in and then see what comes out of it. Super cheesy thing to say, but feeling the fear and doing something anyways, and then seeing what comes out of it.
The fear is almost like an understatement.
Panic.
Dealing with the CRA, dealing with RBC, growing into that space, to use the E word, entrepreneurship.
Exactly.
Knowing where it's going to go and figuring it all out. Absolutely.
Yeah. And also just not knowing everything about here's all the business words, all the business like lingo. And just coming in and being like, okay, what do I already do well? What do I know? What do I understand? And people do need that service. What can I offer people? And then just going for it, starting a website, starting this brand.
Something that I would say, and I need to remind myself and remind our brilliant project manager, shout out Jen, while we're chipping away at things, is that you just don't have every administrative thing done on day one.
Yeah.
You just one day have to be on the government of Quebec's tax website. You know, one day you have to be refiling something else, or you were sole proprietor and then incorporated. There is always a lot of admin work and systems and things that are financial or legal or structural and kind of hard to navigate. It gets a little bit easier because you check off a few and you just do a few at a time and you do them in the level of priority. And all of a sudden, day one for me, I got a $900 tax return. Can spend that and just a little bit more on the bare bones of getting set up. Knew I needed to have a website, that one day I would have a branded email and not a Gmail, some business cards, a logo, and a bit of an inkling of messaging and a service list on what I could offer. But day one, absolute day one, you're probably writing things out of your personal bank account and a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Googling, how do I find an accountant? Do I get a bookkeeper? QuickBooks? Do I need it? SOS, help.
Yeah. Yeah. And then those are all things that sort of come after you've really started growing the business. So I guess my question would be, you started this business. What was that point where it was kind of like, oh, this is working and this is a thing that's actually catching momentum?
So something that people don't often know is that some of the earliest things we did was doing several political campaigns in a row. One, for example, being a progressive mayoral campaign in Ottawa. Mm-hmm. And so I really started a business and just honestly somehow wound up in months of back-to-back really busy campaigns. After I came out of that, it was sort of popping my head out of the water and resting, planning for some more work, trying to figure out where I was. I wound up taking, between the campaigns and other work, some shorter term full-time contractor consulting jobs or some shorter term part-time things. Not talking glamorous, $25,000 contract. We're talking $20 an hour, $45 an hour work, be it on a campaign, be it social media management, honestly, in social impact fields. That was the type of stuff that I needed to pair with the slightly more expert level services. Mm-hmm. And little by little, we eventually were able to do less random stuff and less contractor roles that while they were through the business and were technically consulting, sort of still felt like almost an on-staff thing. I was able to do less and less of those types of roles and move eventually, just under a year and a half later, to strategy and branding and campaigns and training, which is exactly where we are today. Just added websites. Shout out to our brilliant web and brand designer, Robin, for just slaying the day with web and helping us to grow in that area. So it's interesting when you're first starting, you're like, how can I add lots of more services? Where do I learn how to do everything? Mm-hmm. Am I going to make videos myself now? Premiere Pro, where are you?
Yeah.
But then eventually you're like, actually, no, I need to pare back.
Yes.
We need to pare back. We need to be seen as experts. We all are fairly young. Young women in business who haven't run businesses before, you have to build your own credibility. Mm-hmm. We, and myself personally, I bring a lot of privilege into this work. I bring a lot of privilege as a cis white woman growing up in a comfortable family. There's a lot of privilege I bring to this work. I'm the first to acknowledge this. But then there's also some moments where you're building your credibility brick by brick by brick by brick to be like, we can do more than whatever basic execution task may be. Mm-hmm. We're there as experts to consult on strategy, to help organizations grow their capacity, refine their brands, and chart the types of path to build groundbreaking campaigns, building movements, creating defining moments in their organization's history, and building momentum and groundswells for causes to actually make the change they want to see, right? You got to really work for your organizational positioning and credibility. Am I Catherine LeBlanc? Is this a company? Some of those decisions were made on credibility building, but I also didn't really even figure out all of those things on day one. Sometimes it's evolving language on how you describe yourself, but now we're very much a communications agency doing social impact work with a team. We have some brilliant contractors as well supporting us. As Marie always liked to joke, more designers. We always have so many designers.
Yeah.
We just are honestly so obsessed with branding and design and art as tools to shape social change.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something to talk about a little bit too, Marie, the types of services and the types of team members that
Absolutely.
We've grown here.
Yeah. There was something that you said there where at the beginning you were sort of taking on random small roles, and that was something that made sense at the time. So I think a question that a lot of folks starting a business might have or might be thinking about is when you get to the point of saying no to certain things and then being in a place where you're like, okay, now these are the types of services I want to offer, and then start to build something with those services rather than just taking everything that's coming your way.
When Marie said, oh, we're going to talk about saying no, I just made a face because, wow, that's actually such a good question.
Yeah.
There's such a scarcity mindset work to work through and to push back against and to grow through as an individual, as a business. We're always working with our team. It's not just me working through scarcity mindset. It's Marie, our other colleagues collectively. Mm-hmm. Learning what to say no to is literally every single day you're still reminding yourself what to focus on. You know, a little while ago we had, can't say who, obviously, but just we have pleasure working with a bunch of clients that are important sounding organizations that you may have heard of. And one came to us asking for us to do something that we don't do and have not done for a while.
Said to each other
something
that
we were like,
do.
We don't do such and such type of work. But it was an organization we had worked with before and that's pretty well known. So we were like, oh, well, we got to do such and such service that we don't actually offer because it's for them. It ended up not happening. But that's an example of when you don't build clarity on what you offer, when you're not relentlessly clear and focused in what you deliver and how you deliver it as best as possible, then you risk that expert perception and expert reality kind of fading away and just being a jack of all trades. And also just to not exhaust yourself in business. Yeah. All of us on the team need to be focused in what we do. We don't need our graphic designer doing something else that's not designer web. And we don't need me learning how to be a videographer or something like that. Yeah. There's a certain level of focus that needs to stay. So Marie, if we're telling the story of the business and we've told the very beginning, we've told a little bit about building credibility and honing services. We talked about how I had to do quite a lot of contractor type contracts before doing more and more strategy. At a point, we started doing much strategy, started going well. At a point, I was collaborating with different designers, different folks supporting me in communications. But it was then the time we really need a full-time employee and some help is needed to structure the business and to offer clients what they really need to succeed and what they need from us. The business grew to a point where it couldn't be one person and bonus friends and needed to truly be a team, a strong team, a team working together, a team growing, a team where every person has incredible strengths. So then you came along.
I did. Yes.
So what made you join us, the first full-time employee of a small company? I told Marie I was going to ask this question today because I'm like, we're going to tell some truths and open up a little bit more here about this story and not just give you the glossy little PR soundbite. So when you joined, you had to set up your own payroll.
Yeah.
What was the experience of starting as the first full-time employee at the company like?
It was great. But on a serious note, I think that I came into the company in a place where you, Catherine, were very transparent about where the company is, the sort of margin of growth that we're getting at, and where we wanted to go. And that really aligned with where I saw myself going and the kind of work that I saw myself doing. So I think coming into the company, even though, you know, there are systems that we didn't have fully set up, like you said, Catherine, we didn't have all the answers. You know, you weren't ever in a position where you had to set up payroll and make sure someone is taken care of from an HR perspective, because it was just you. And I think what worked anyway in that context is that I came into a company that had a strong value system already set in place. So everything else that had to be set up sort of came easy, and it was more administrative than it was mission and value based. So those things really aligned already. So I think what really helped was LeBlanc & Co. already having mm-hmm. this strong foundation of this is the kind of work we want to be doing. This is the kind of people we want to be working with. And this is the kind of impact we want to be making. So things like payroll weren't as top of mind because
we figured it out.
We figured it out.
Many months later, Maria, everyone does in fact get paid.
Exactly.
To be clear, it's a little joke. You know, Maria's so right. Like the administrative yes. systems, you do figure them out and you prioritize them.
Exactly.
You can even, and we do, get support from a bookkeeper, an accountant. Even have a lawyer, shout yeah. out to my lawyer, and are able to build capacity in those areas. So what a touching response, Marie. That was so nice on the values. And something I'd say about Marie, well, I have so many different things to say about Marie. One is that she's so multi-talented, the strategy, the writing, the people and client skills and relationships, but also the design and the visual eye she brings is great. But something I will say about Marie is that she's quite uniquely able to think as I would. And it's not just think as I would, because it's not just me. We're both trying to think like the company. I'm trying to think like Marie. Marie's trying to think like me, but we're yeah. both trying to think of the collective team decision or response to something. Try to consult each other quite a lot. And also other brilliant teammates and colleagues we talk to constantly.
Yeah.
Probably when we're a little bit further along in the story, we'll talk a little bit about where we are now with those folks, but try to be very collaborative. And shout out to the incredible, incredible clients that work with us and the many folks that come to us with inquiries. But every once in a while, you will get a bit of a value dilemma, get a bit of an email and be like, ooh, what should I do with this?
Yeah.
Which could be almost anything. It's a certain organization, it's a certain issue, it's a certain thing to work through. And Marie is always someone I can really lean on because it's someone who thinks like me in like a brainwave way, but also in a values alignment way to help yeah. work through issues. And also we can ghostwrite as each other very well. It's very yeah, nice.
Super helpful.
So we've gone from that figuring out try to be a team of two just to a little bit larger. So Marie, where are we now?
Where are we now? So I think one very exciting moment for us was the ability to put a job posting up. I thought that was a really exciting time for the company where we could say, hey, we have this position open and we're looking for folks to apply. Because up until that point, Catherine and I sort of met through a work relationship and were able to work together that way. But this was the first time that we're really able to put out there that our capacity is growing. So I thought that was really exciting going through that interview process together.
Yeah. And we hired a part-time project manager and then we're like, please help us full-time.
Yeah.
To be clear, she sort of asked, she was like, hey, yes. I think there's enough work. How would you think about more hours? I was like, full-time? Did you say full-time?
Yeah.
And we're able to benefit from this incredible project manager. We've also brought on a full-time designer.
Yeah.
So the last little bit has been a bit of an interesting shift. There's been some moments where things are working so well that I'm like, we're ready for this project?
Yeah.
I don't have to spend my entire Sunday writing a communication strategy. This is nice.
Yeah. If you're thinking about getting a project manager, get a project manager.
Imagine if our entire podcast and all of our behind the scenes marketing content was just get a project manager.
Yeah.
My only business tip at this yeah. point. But it's a balance of growing your capacity for delivery.
Yeah.
Who writes the strategy or who does the design, whatever you're consulting or offering, who does the delivery? Then also the systems and organizational capacity. We have, for the whole time the company's been around, been working on both. But
yeah,
there's just a certain point where you need maybe full-time capacity on this. So for example, some things that have grown is just the detailed checklists for our services, mm-hmm. also called standard operating procedures or SOPs, template communications, what is best for the project manager to support on, and also just the design work on the company has grown so much.
Yeah.
We went from how could we possibly get someone to ask us to do an annual report to mostly rebrands, which I'm so proud of. I'm proud of everything that we do. The strategy and advocacy and training work is very meaningfully poignant to me. Don't get me wrong, but I just think that it's such a night and day on the brand design, how far we've come
yeah.
with colleagues like Shannon, Katie, Robin, and Marie for their design work over the past few years. And it has meant that we've been able to grow in what we offer as our clients grow and mature in their communications and as the business has matured. there's been quite a few organizations that we've helped them strengthen their strategy, their messaging, and then their brand. And then now for some of them, we're doing their websites.
Yeah.
All of that. Some will just need one piece and that's okay, but it's pretty cool to be able to control more and more. And in many cases, we partner with other vendors. A client may have an existing web team. We may have time and capacity may only work out to do some things and not the others. That's always okay. But we're able to see a little bit more of the full picture. I remember when Marie was like, Kevin, it's time that we do websites because you keep on hiring web designers. Yeah. So we don't do websites. It was funny because at that point, we actually were doing websites, but just on a back end, a client needs something and we can, so we may as well. But working on existing sites and just giving them a bit of a glow up or adding a new page. And that's actually pretty common for how businesses grow into new services.
Yeah.
Working with people you're already working on and then doing some work that's adjacent or dipping your toe into it. And you see what you like. You see if you're good at it. You see where you need to grow your systems and capacity. And then decide what works.
Exactly.
And for us, we've scoped out certain types of web work makes more sense for us to do and certain types not. So that's a continuum of services. Folks often work with us on a project capacity, but we're so happy to say, come back and work with us again in many cases. So that's a little bit of context on services.
Yeah. And I think that we've been lucky enough to be in a place where we are sort of working with the right people at the right time. When we started to think about doing websites, our amazing designer, Robin, just happened to also be a web designer. So we were in a position where we had this fantastic designer who had the ability to do brands, to do illustrations, also do web design. And it also came at a point where our company was ready to do web design work.
Yes, because we had already been doing so many brands.
Yeah.
There's just a certain satisfaction when you do a project from beginning to end. Robin probably told me that 10 times before I was like, okay, you're right. Everybody's right. We should do some websites. I say that as someone who's worked on probably dozens of websites getting set up. It's not like we were starting from scratch. It was just building this a little bit more prominently as an offer. So we're just in such an interesting time of the team maturing and growing and the organization trying to deepen our relationships with certain sectors like nonprofits. We got it.
Mm-hmm.
Nonprofits, we got you.
Yeah.
Bread and butter, right? A relationship and a knowledge that has been deepened over a long time. But we work with so many different types of organizations. We work with labor unions. We work with government. We work with social enterprise. And those are all examples of things we've done multiple contracts with each, but it's continuing to be deepening relationships in all of those areas. Working with more groups, working with them on more projects, fun projects, bigger projects, more long-term projects. We have done everything between wrapping a minivan and then maybe soon wrapping like an 18-wheeler-ish type of trailer. I don't know if I described the size correctly, but physical things to the design and illustration of materials engaging kids to campaigns that have been featured on the floor of the House of Commons and materials that have been printed in the thousands and shared by thousands of people. So we do sort of traditional advocacy, Parliament Hill beat stuff that you'd expect, and then also just fun stuff.
Yeah.
To our arts client, we're like, maybe would you consider doing some screen printing? Like maybe they will, maybe they won't. It's all good. But just an example of we're using the traditional consulting firm methods that are quite structured, but also being really creative and flexible in how we structure our offers. Not everyone needs to be locked into a retainer.
Mm-hmm.
And then also so creative in what we do. Not everything needs to be a press release.
Yeah.
We meet different clients where they are and we support them with what they need. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the way that I would summarize sort of where we are now is that we're getting this opportunity to work on projects that we're really excited about, with clients that we're really excited about, with a team that's very values aligned. So it's just really, really exciting. But that brings me to thinking about, Catherine, where you see us going in the future, that classic, the next few years, where do you see the company?
Yeah, I would say that I want to deepen our relationship with Manitoba and me having moved to Winnipeg and getting more involved and engaged with the community here in Winnipeg. Yeah. We do get to do great work with folks here in Winnipeg already, but just right now and over the next few years, that's going to be a priority. We're actually a team of two folks full time in Winnipeg, which is fun.
Yeah.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah, headquarters in Winnipeg.
HQ. Yeah. Headquartered in Winnipeg. So I'd say being really locally involved. That's a me personally thing, but also for the company overall. Running a business, no matter what role you're in the business, you could be an associate at a small consulting startup. You could be the founder. You honestly have to get used to putting yourself out there, putting your organization out there, just the act of pitching, getting comfortable with being uncomfortable and rejection. I don't think that if I had stayed in the types of roles I was before, that I would have had the same level of rejection therapy. Mm-hmm. It's almost like this continual process of becoming more comfortable pitching yourself. You're better at it, but you're also more relaxed. And just know that your value, your business's value, does not come in any one opportunity. And you need to zoom out and view things from the totality. We will have people hire us that I'm like, that was an incredibly lucky fluke. That's amazing. I didn't know that they knew that we existed.
Yeah.
We'll have groups hire us for projects that I'm thrilled and honored that they trust us to do this type of work. Sometimes you'll get hired for something that it's a surprise almost, but then also sometimes you'll think you're going to get something and then you won't, or you think that you're likely to get something with a repeat client or in a sector you know a lot about. You can't be too attached to any one pitch or opportunity, and you have to look at things at the totality. That's easier said when done, when the pocketbook and the budget is comfortable, but it's still the advice. No matter whether you're in a stressed out or abundant place of projects and finances, it's looking at the things with the totality.
Yeah, I love that answer. Okay, my last question for you will be, what is something you are the most proud of when it comes to the business today?
I'm most proud of the team.
Yeah.
And how well the team is currently gelling together.
Yeah.
Oh, we're organized. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Marie wrote the most incredible deliverable here. This is amazing. This strategy looks so good. The team crushed it. So definitely how well the team is currently gelling together. That's what I'm most proud of. Thanks for asking. So thanks so much to everyone for tuning in. Thanks. A big heartfelt thank you to Marie for guiding us through this episode and just being here for everything.
Yeah. And a thank you to Catherine for answering all of my questions today and telling us a little bit more about the business. And, you know, something that we always say that I like to keep in mind when it comes to saying no and going after what's for you, we always like to say, is it something that's going to make us feel grumpy about the work that we're doing? And if that's the case, then we should probably say no, and more of what you want will come your way. So
yeah,
thank you, Catherine. I love being a part of this agency. I also love our team and I love the work that we do.
Yep. We're just going to double down on what's going well and just keep working with this amazing team. Thanks so much to Marie, and thanks for everyone for tuning in.